This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batster. I welcome Conrad Black, distinguished biographer and writing at the National Post of an imminent election, if I understand, in North America, very critical going forward into the 21st century. Our neighbor to the north, Canada, and I read from the BBC report, Canada's new Prime Minister, Mark Carney, is likely to call a national election for 28 April, as soon as this Sunday, meaning within these next hours. With Canada's business reeling from trade dispute with the U.S., Carney, a former two-time central banker, writes the BBC, is expected to pitch himself as the candidate best equipped to take on Donald Trump. Conrad, a very good evening to you. What I've read about Mr. Carney is he's an experienced central banker, not only the Bank of Canada as governor, but also the Bank of England as governor. In addition to that, most recently, he's managed at the head of Brookfield, a very large and sophisticated and successful firm, mostly of real estate in North America. Never been a politician to my reading. He's been made the head of the Liberal Party as Justin Trudeau, the head of the Liberal Party, stepped aside. That made him immediately the premier, calling the election for the 28th. Is that in order? Is that a surprise? And what happens next? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Yeah, all of that, what you just said, is correct. No, it's not a surprise. You're quite right that he has never held elective office or sought elective office before, but he has been, since he retired as governor of the Bank of England, very closely associated with this government, the government of Justin Trudeau that he now heads. He has given them a lot of advice, and not just on financial matters. In fact, his greatest political preoccupation is environmental questions. He's a vintage advocate of net zero, of the elimination of fossil fuel use, and is a real militant on the whole issue of climate change. Now, he does have a slightly different angle on it, in that instead of emphasizing doom and gloom and the end is nigh and so forth, he claims that it is that the state of climate change and the prospect of it is a great opportunity for Canada to become a world leader in sustainable energy and so forth. Now, personally, and I think a great many of my countrymen share this view, I think that is nonsense. Where we have the great opportunity is as a supplier of traditional forms of energy, particularly oil, natural gas, and coal for those who want it. But that's his great preoccupation in public affairs. Now, because of the rather, as it's seen here, bellicose position taken by President Trump in tariff matters, where he exaggerates the deficit that the U.S. has with Canada, and if you take energy out of it, there is no deficit, and a lot of the oil that the U.S. buys from Canada, it sells on at a profit to itself. So we don't really see on the tariff side, or on the matter of importation of drugs, because the amount of fentanyl that comes in from Canada is very small, and after all, it's up to the U.S. to, you know, put whatever controls it wants on its own border. There has arisen this issue that Trump is being unfair to Canada, and his comments about a 51st state and so on, which were taken as kind of humorous at the beginning, have been repeated enough that a lot of people are kind of annoyed about it. So Carney is quite naturally standing as the man to, as you said, stand up to Trump, but so is Poilievre, but he's who's the leader of the opposition, the Conservatives. But he's saying it in a much more gentlemanly way. He's saying, look, I have no criticism of what President Trump does in his own country, and I have no And I certainly don't mock him as a person the way Carney does, but there is a policy issue here, and obviously we will have to defend Canadian interests. But you know, we've done that before, and it'll be fine. I mean, fundamentally, we're friendly countries, and the Liberals are trying to pretend that Carney is a virtual Churchillian figure, promising to fight on the beaches and the landing grounds and so on, when that's just a lot of histrionic nonsense. So you have the so-called American threat, the scale and nature of it under dispute, but you also have policy areas. When Carney wrote a very turgid but authoritarian socialistic book some years ago, in which he is proud to represent himself as a globalist, an elitist, a man of Davos, a man who believes in a benign but authoritarian government. I mean, a democratic government. He's certainly not opposing free elections or freedom of speech or anything like that. But a man of the civilized left, but that traditional authoritarian social democratic left, and the conservatives are conservatives. They're not radical conservatives, but they're, you know, sensible right of center people. So it's a clear choice.
I very much look forward to going through the campaign with you and learning. Calling the election for the 28th, that's just tomorrow. That's certainly not the way we conduct elections in the U.S., which is all the time. However, can we anticipate that there'll be opportunity for Mr. Podesta and Mr. Carney to speak to each other, to debate? Is that part of the process?
It normally happens, yeah. It would be the first time in... let me get this right now. It would be the first time in more than 50 years of Canadian elections that there wasn't a debate. If that were the case, I'm sure they will debate. Yes, and the other party leaders too. They put them all. There would be the New Democrats, who are really a socialist party, and the separatist party in Quebec, the Bloc Québécois. They get enough votes that they usually qualify. So you'd have, and the Green leader might be there as well. So you'll have all the party leaders, but really the choices between the Liberal and the Conservative as to who will be the Prime Minister.
And Ontario is the most important vote, you told me, because of the number of people who live there. Is that correct?
That's right. It's got almost, I would say, 40% of the population of the country. So it would be like having a state in your country twice the population of California.
The only puzzle that comes up as you recount Mr. Carney is to emphasize net zero in a country that's so blessed with fossil fuel energy. Seems odd.
Exactly, and in the areas that produce it, he will not get a single MP, I don't think.
And that's an indifference to him? Because to lead Canada, you want a majority everywhere.
Yeah, he's on this issue. He's very militant. And now, he's shown a little flexibility. He was an advocate for a long time of carbon tax, which was really, you know, an increase in the price of gasoline and home heating fuel. And, you know, the home heating fuel everywhere in Canada is as much of an issue as it is in, say, the northern half of your country. I mean, the people in Florida aren't so concerned with it, but people in, you know, Chicago are, it was just another tax, but masquerading as helping to save the planet. Well, he's abandoned that now, so he's not completely obstinate, but that's certainly his policy position, is that we should move steadily away from fossil fuel.
Conrad Black for the National Post, and we look forward to the election. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.